the string band Old Crow Medicine Show, beloved by listeners of A Prairie Home Companion, began their careers busking on street corners. They eventually caught the attention of folk icon Doc Watson. 18 years later, the band has gone on to receive the honour of induction to the Grand Old Opry and to win 2 Grammy Awards for the Best Folk Album for Remedy in 2014 and the Best Long-Form Music Video for Big Easy Express in 2013. And their classic single, Wagon Wheel, received the RIAA's Platinum Certification in 2013 for selling over 1 million copies. Old Crow Medicine Show are coming to the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport on Friday, September the 23rd. Ketch Secor, one of the founding members of Old Crow, spoke to me by phone recently.
We play American roots music in the Old Crow Medicine Show. We've been doing it now for going on 18 years, maybe a little bit more. We started in the fall of 1998, not too far outside of Williamsport, PA, just up over the state line in the Empire State of New York, where Critter and I relocated, having grown up together in Virginia. And I play the fiddle, and we still play rock and roll on our acoustic instruments. You know, arguably, rock and roll is a form of American roots music. So is Appalachian old time. So is all the way to Tejano and sea shanties. And we do a little bit of all of those things and have created a signature sound that doesn't sound like anybody else. And we're not traditionalists. We love all of these early American musical genres. And we put them all together. Some of them sound more trad, and some of them sound more rock and roll, and some of them sound like hillbilly music, and sometimes we sound like we're singing gospel, and we are. It takes all these different kinds. There are a lot of sticking out from the root ball of American song.
I like that, American roots music, because you do appeal to a wide range of people. I know people who are passionate about folk music, passionate about the blues, passionate about country music, all different kinds of music that love your work and love your musicianship.
Yeah, well, it's really wonderful to be at a point in your career where people recognize you for being what Pete Seeger calls a link in the chain. See, this kind of music stretches back. We're not the first bunch of kids to come up with fiddle and banjo and tight harmony or blow harmonicas. This is part of a greater continuum. And Pete Seeger says every new generation forges a link on that chain that stretches way back. We're proud to be in that kind of company. We got to know Pete Seeger and perform with him. And singing with Pete is kind of the best thing that a banjo player can ascribe to do.
You've been together for 18 years, and you've recently acquired a number of notable awards and recognition. You've become members of Grand Old Opry, and you've won more than one Grammy.
In September of 2012, we became the newest members of the Grand Old Opry. It's really exciting. We've been hitting the Opry since we were 20 years old when we first came to Nashville at the turn of the new millennium. And for them to make us members after 14 years or something of scrubbing it out, it was really exciting. The Opry is founded on American roots music, and they hadn't inducted a string band like ours in a long time. So it represents a great big circle. They say, "Will the circle be unbroken?" You know, that's sort of the theme song of the Opry. And with our membership, it connects to the very earliest days of the Grand Old Opry, which at this point is America's longest-running radio broadcast. And recently, we became Grammy Award winners for the second time. This is our second Grammy we won for Folk Album of the Year, which we took home last winter, in the winter of 2015.
And that was for your latest album, Remedy?
Yeah, that's right.
So people are really beginning to recognize your work, although I suspect you've had strong audiences all along, people who just love your work. As you intimated, you began not far from here. You began in Upper New York State, busking?
In the fall of 1998, up in Ithaca, or outside of Ithaca. Circumstances brought us up there, but among them, the really healthy and vibrant roots music scene. Ithaca is renowned in folk music circles for being a place where there's really great old-time music and really an eclectic wide range of music as well. we were up there, Critter and I, because there were so many great fiddlers up there, so many great banjo players. We started up there, and we were picking grapes to raise gas money to get out on the road. We raised about $500 picking Pinot Noir and crossed the Canadian border and crossed Canada all the way to British Columbia in the fall of 1998. And that was the beginning of the band. Since that time, we subsequently moved to North Carolina, and that's where we had this chance encounter with the great folk music icon named Doc Watson, who gave us our first big break, brought us to Nashville. We moved to Nashville in 2001 and have been calling Music City our home ever since.
You began with Critter. How did you meet the rest of the band?
Mostly through busking. The lineups rotated a little bit through the years, as things do when you've been together for nearly two decades. But the majority of members of this band currently met on street corners. You know, when you're busking, you're pretty much putting a billboard out there about your band. You know, our Get Joe player tipped me a dollar about 16 years ago, and he's been with us ever since. Our bass player tipped us a buck, and we called him a couple weeks later for a gig, and he had a car, and so he was a new member. It's a gregarious thing playing music on a street corner, and it's oftentimes the tips that you get in your jar have a lot more than just monetary value.
Ithaca is well known, of course, for a tremendously vibrant arts community, so I can see how it would appeal to you very much. And then you moved to North Carolina. Why? Because you wanted to go back?
Yeah, I think we wanted to be more at the spring box of the music, you know, where it was coming out of the ground. I mean, arguably, there's more old-time music in Ithaca, New York than there is in the Southern Highlands. We weren't really listening for bluegrass and country. We were trying to get to the heart of this Appalachian old-time thing. And there's actually more of it in Ithaca than there is down south. But we hit on to something else. We really learned this kind of pack mentality, and that made us strong and resilient and kind of forged in the flames that set us united. It takes that kind of unification to stick around. It's, you know, being in a band is tough. It's a tough line of work, particularly in the lean years. But our move to North Carolina really hardened our resolve.
Tough times, though, are often inspiring to an artist, even though it's really, really tough when you're there, surrounded by the music itself, surrounded by the art that seems to bubble from the ground and you can find in incidental places, can really keep you going as an artist. It's an irony, isn't it? And then when you become comfortable, it becomes a little harder to find it.
Yeah, the early years are where all the good songs come from, because you're living real tough and, you know, you're exposed to, you got your guard down and your comfort zone is hardly in place. I mean, you're hardly ever comfortable. You know, you're hot or cold or thirsty most of the time when you're young. And so if you want to write primal direction, then it's good to have lived in a fairly primal lifestyle. And that's not something that I would want to do anymore, because I did it and it was hard. It was fun. I had a lot of fun being broke, and I had a lot of fun, you know, working jobs like cutting tobacco or picking fruit or washing cars or working on farms or working in factories. And all those things helped put lines into our songs. And now I look back on those days much more fondly than I did when we were living them. But, you know, there's been steady growth all along. I mean, we got to Nashville and we started working right away. And, yeah, we lived in a part of town where there was, you know, a lot of sketchy things going on at night. But, you know, I was 21. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to see all the things that set this city apart from any place I'd ever lived before. I'd never really lived in a big city before. And Nashville's pretty spread out, but it's got big city breath.
Where do your songs come from? Do you write them all yourself? Is it a mixture of traditional songs that you've adapted and songs that you've written?
Well, our songs are, as you say, a mixed-up version of many different voices. One of the prominent voices in our songs comes out of traditional sources. We listen to a lot of the music of the 1920s and borrow melodies, borrow lines, borrow hooks. You know, we learned most about songwriting from the great Bob Dylan, who is one of the better song thieves out there, maybe the greatest, maybe the bigger than Billy the Kid, as far as robbing from the right places. Bob remains a real inspiration to me as a songwriter. We're all songwriters in the band, and most of all, we're just looking for that connection between us and our audience. You know, whether it's a drinking song or a country moaner, or if it's a party song or a song with some historical context or hero songs. The musicologists say there's only about four different kinds of songs anyway, and so we just try and write those four songs over and over and over again, keep them fresh, keep them updated. And then you have a lot of fun with producers trying to make, you know, your songs do something different each time. But everywhere you go with writing and recording, you're following these pole stars of all of the great songwriters that you love. You know, we got a new record that we recorded in June, and it'll come out sometime next year. One particular song on there that I thought, well, this sounds like John Hartford. Let's borrow that kind of thing. Let's borrow that drone. Or this one sounds like the band. Let's borrow from that. It's really fun getting to be a kind of minor bird and to mimic all of the things that you think are great.
So in a way, you're really following the true folk tradition, where you'll take a song that may have originated in Scotland or in England, has come over here and it's morphed and it's changed and it's become part of the American root system. So in a way, you're following that kind of tradition.
I would argue that every songwriter is doing exactly that. I mean, anybody that's writing in the popular American music format is borrowing from balladry, is borrowing from Celtic dance music traditions. And I mean, I'd charge that to Kanye West. I think he's writing folk music. I think that the latest Rihanna single is rooted. It's all coming from the Big Bang. That's where the rhythm of Africa meets the melody of Europe, and it happened on these shores, and it has irrevocably changed the course of humanity, particularly in the musical arts. We're all writing folk music. It's all folk music. Old Crow is just doing it a little bit more on the page. And Old Crow is the group that's very keenly aware that we are borrowing from folk tradition. I mean, maybe Kanye doesn't know it, but I do.
When people think of Old Crow, if they know no other song that you have done, they will know Wagon Wheel. It's sold more than any other song you have, hasn't it?
Yeah, it sold a couple million copies.
Does that make you fed up? Are you bored with it?
No, not at all. It's great. It's like having Babe Ruth in your lineup.
There's something about Wagon Wheel that speaks to us.
You know, it's stolen from all the right places, borrowing the right kind of mood. You've already heard it before if you like Knocking on Heaven's Door. And who don't like Knocking on Heaven's Door? Or if you like One Love by Bob Marley, that's Wagon Wheel. And if you like That's All Right Mama by Elvis Presley, it's just one of those songs that fits in with the other one, the chord structure. If you like Me and Bobby McGee, well, who don't like that song? That's a great song. I don't think it's a masterpiece like Me and Bobby McGee is, but there's a generation now that's growing up, and they probably won't ever hear Me and Bobby McGee. That's all right. There's got to be new songs that make you feel the way that song did for that generation. I mean, I heard Me and Bobby McGee, and I heard Tangled Up in Blue, and to me, those are better songs. But if you haven't heard Tangled Up in Blue, you might hear Wagon Wheel and think, that's a great one. So I welcome the publicity that it generates. I don't want to stand here and say that it's all that great, because I know that it's just standing on the shoulders of songs that run even deeper. But I think it reminds you of those songs. So whether you heard them or not, you know, it's in good company. It's got the right kind of sing-along ability and then the poetic metaphor of it all, plus it's the quixotic journey type of song. Earlier, you and I were talking about how the musicologists say there's only a couple kinds of songs anyway. Well, this is the archetypal journey song, a song that was most popularly written by Homer when he penned the Odyssey. That thing's a song about a journey with hardships and travels and travails, and this is just like that. It's just a 3-minute condensed version.
Do you have songs that you particularly like that you think we should pay more attention to in your repertoire?
No, I just sort of set them out there like a buffet table, and you put on what you like. I made them all. You know, I don't need anybody to say which ones they're good for my sake, you know. Eat the ones that you want and leave the other ones there, and somebody else will come along and fill their plate with them. And it's just a big old steam tray, and it's your plate to fill. You know, there's 100 recorded songs in our catalog that I've written, and they all come from a different perspective, but they're all mine. And or they're shared with other writers in different flavors, and I'll write 100 more of them. As long as I keep being turned on by the process, then it keeps working. And then you share that with others, and you know, you get the affirmation of it, and that makes you want to go do it again and again.
Do you enjoy live performances? Do you enjoy performing in front of an audience?
Well, I know I'm going to enjoy playing in front of Williamsport, PA. This is going to be a good time. You know, this is going to be our very first time performing in Williamsport. And every time we make that inaugural visit, it's always extra exciting. But y'all come out and see us. Come out and see the Old Crows. It'll be our very first time in your community. Bring your dancing shoes. Get ready to hoot and holler and have a good time.
Ketch Secor of Old Crow Medicine Show. Old Crow Medicine Show will be coming to the Community Arts Centre in Williamsport on Friday, September the 23rd. The show begins at 7:30 p.m. For tickets, you can call the CAC box office at 570-326-2424 or go online to www.caclive.com. Thank you very much to Ketch Secor of Old Crow Medicine Show.